A legend of the New York City tabloid newspaper who went on to a long career as an author has died. Pete Hamill, a longtime columnist for the New York Daily News and New York Post, was 85. He suffered a variety of health problems in recent years. A native of Brooklyn, Hamill was a tabloid figure even after his newspaper days were behind him, dating people like Jackie Onassis and Shirley MacLaine. He wound up on Nixon's enemies list and was one of the people who wrestled the gun away from Robert Kennedy's assassin in the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. Hamill was a frequent guest on WAMC, discussing his novels and nonfiction. I spoke with Pete Hamill several times, including for this episode of The Book Show in 2013. We share a portion of that interview today, in memoriam.
When I talk about fiction in a newspaper, most of these stories came out of the 1980s and came out of an idea of writing fictional tales. And now that seems unheard of.
Now it's unheard of. But at one point in the history of American and other newspapers, plenty of people wrote for clearly identified fiction for newspapers. The most famous in our country was O. Henry. Although Stephen Crane had written some short stories for newspapers, too. But in other countries, Alberto Moravia in Italy wrote a lot of his short stories for newspapers. Kafu Nagai in Japan. There were lots of great writers who did this. And it was because, I think, editors felt there were stories out there, particularly in a city, that didn't ever hope to get on page one. They're not that kind of story. But they illuminate people, life in the city. They illuminate the people you sit next to in the subway or the bus. They make you, in some ways, I hope, a little bit more human and more able to recognize the humanity in other people. In a city as rushed and hurried as this one was, in almost all American cities.
The collection brings together the stories, and the one theme, the one commonality is Brooklyn. It is where you were born. It's where you grew up. And that's not to say that every story that you wrote and that was part of this series was about Brooklyn, but those have been brought together.
Right.
What do you think it is about Brooklyn that makes that marketable now, our interest in the place?
Well, Brooklyn is hot now. I can't afford to live there. There's many writers living there, Jonathan Safran Foer and Martin Amis and others are living there now, where there were hardly any when I was a kid. It attracts writers, and it is now attracting not simply writers, but all kinds of young people who like the human scale of the architecture, the ability to see the sky, which is almost impossible in Manhattan. And I think that is churning up different energies in the borough right now. And I kept coming across people who had just moved in the previous two or three or four years to Brooklyn, who wanted to know what it was like when I was young. And so in certain ways, this book is a way of explaining, the fancy word would be the palimpsest, you know, what lies beneath the surface of those streets you're walking down right this very minute.
The cover of the book has a kid on a sled, and it is a very nostalgic photo of New York. You say on the first page about these stories that many of these stories are charged by the city's most enduring emotion, nostalgia.
Yeah.
What is it about that nostalgia that is so ripe for us, do you think?
I always try to make the distinction between nostalgia and sentimentality, because nostalgia is based on missing and aching sometimes or grieving for something that was once here and is now gone. That could be people. It could be a baseball team. It could be your favorite coffee shop that was there when you went off for the summer, and when you came back, it's another sneaker store. The rapidity of change in a place like New York is one reason for it. But also, it's an immigrant town, and everybody, whether it's the Mexicans arriving in the last 20, 25 years, the Chinese who have arrived again in large numbers for the first time in many years, are no different from the Irish, the Italian, and the Eastern European Jews. They might have hated the place that forced them into exile for various reasons, for bigotry, for the deck being stacked against them, for hunger. But it was also where they were once 5 years old, running barefoot in the grass. And so you hear immigrant music in certain neighborhoods, and it's not very different from the immigrant music that I heard as a son of Irish immigrants more than 70 years ago. So I think the combination of the immigrants and rapidity of change makes nostalgia very common.
Do we still, do you think, have these strong characters? Or do we still have them and we just don't notice them as much?
Well, I don't notice them, but what I hope is that the younger writers and people are paying attention. You know, that you just try to sort out who walks by in the morning in your neighborhood, who is a regular, why does he wear an overcoat in August? Why? What does he do? Who is he? What's his story? And find ways just to be polite in the morning and say good morning. It might lead you to an 18-page story. Who knows? But I hope they're happening. I sense that they are. To say that my generation was unique in the amount of stories that came out of human beings rather than books would be arrogant. I think there's stories there, and we don't know them yet. We're beginning to see them in the works of Esmeralda Santiago and others, giving us the Latinos at last. But there's a lot more that we haven't heard yet. I hope I live long enough to hear them.
Pete Hamill speaking with me on The Book Show in 2013. Pete Hamill died this morning. He was 85.